It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, chewing the fat with Rex and Paul, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the Cals Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio Cals, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org. Hello, and welcome to Primary Sources, a featured production of Radio Cals. Here on Primary Sources, we focus on people who are making a difference in Little Rock and Arkansas. Some you might have heard of, and some you haven't heard of, but probably want to know about. Check out cals.org/podcasts for a free podcast of Primary Sources interviews. The Memory Project at Little Rock Central High is a student-led effort to preserve and share oral history of civil and human rights. For the 60th anniversary of the 1957 Central High desegregation crisis, the Memory Project students have produced an audio walking tour recounting the events of September 4, 1957, the historic first attempt by the Little Rock Nine to attend their classes at Central. Titled Words That Matter, Voices of Civil Rights, The First Day at Central High, the tour follows the footsteps of Elizabeth Eckford and the Nine in front of school that fateful day, and narrates the story using excerpts from news reports, editorials, and personal memoirs of the Nine. Recently, Memory Project students sat with summer interns in the city of Little Rock's KWCP Youth Radio Project to discuss their takeaway from working on these civil rights oral history projects. You are listening to that conversation now.
But we're sitting down today with a couple of guests, and we're going to be interviewing them about their project that they've been working on for a few years now. Can you kind of introduce yourself? Tell us who you are.
All right. We're the Memory Project from Little Rock Central High School. The Memory Project's been around for a long time, maybe a decade. And our goal is to use education and historical sources to educate people, and the past isn't repeated. Okay, someone else do that better.
Hi, my name is Zoe Moore. To piggyback on what you said, Memory Project is a club at Little Rock Central High School where we take historical documents and we present them through various sources such as classrooms, the community, in order to present history, in order to express our opinions, diversity, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm Zia Tollett, and I'm also a member of the Memory Project.
I'm Jesse Bates, and I'm an editor as well.
Really happy that you decided to sit down with us so we can interview you on these questions and about your project. You got something to say, Double A?
So how did you all initially get involved in working with the Memory Project?
Well, personally, Mr. West, who's the leader of the Memory Project, is my neighbor and a friend of my parents. And he talked to my parents about me joining whenever I was in eighth grade. And whenever he explained it to me, I was really interested because it was a new view of the history of my city and the school that I was going to be going to next year. And so I decided to give it a try, and I'm very glad that I did.
For me, my mother had a friend whose son was in the Memory Project, so she found out about it that way, and I've always had an interest in history, so she thought it would be a good club for me to join. I was a little bit hesitant at first. I wasn't sure if it was really going to be my thing, but then in ninth grade, I buckled down and I went to a meeting, and I really liked how we did things there, and so I've been a member ever since.
I was in ninth grade, and I had Mr. West, our sponsor, as a civics teacher. And I was wanting to join a club because I'm very social and active in my school. And Mr. West, he's like, you should join Memory Project. And, you know, as a freshman, that was, you know, something I never heard of. And I eventually went to a meeting and I found out that this is my passion. And also that it focuses on history. And that's something that I'm considering majoring in college.
I joined about the same way. I went to Central like the first day or the day before, so I would be able to find all my classes. Met Mr. West. He talked me into joining. I definitely don't regret it now.
Yeah.
Because we try to retell important stories and teach history.
So firstly, who is Mr. West?
So Mr. West is our sponsor, so he's kind of the leader of our group. He works at the Butler Center, and this is one of the projects they took on. He used to be a teacher at Central, and he began the Memory Project whenever he was a teacher. He taught civics, and so it's the Memory Project has slowly gone through different stages, and right now we've been developing a script, and so he's the one that gives us all the opportunities to publicize our script, and he just keeps us all intact and moving along.
So you guys are talking about a script, so can you explain what this script is used for and what it's about?
The script that we're talking about is a walking tour that follows Elizabeth Eckford's walk when she was first going to integrate Central. And so this walk kind of tells you about the integration, and it has specific stops where specific things happened.
Specifically, it's about the first day where Elizabeth Eckford showed up alone and a mob surrounded her and she barely got out. And more broadly, it's about the story of integration at Central, about the whole year, about the events leading up to it and coming after it.
Okay, so y'all said that the walking tour, y'all followed the walking tour for Elizabeth Eckford?
Yes.
So how was that? What did y'all learn from that experience?
Well, we learned a whole new side of Elizabeth Eckford's experience, because everybody has known, or hopefully most people know, the story of the Little Rock Nine and how Elizabeth Eckford showed up alone because she didn't get the memo that they're meeting with the group. And so she walked alone through the mob and she faced so much harassment. And most textbooks just kind of, they don't sugarcoat it exactly, but they don't go into detail. And so it was interesting to see how much it actually traumatized her and how much hatred she actually faced.
Yeah, going off of what Jesse said, I definitely didn't realize how bad it actually was for the Little Rock Nine when they were integrating Central, just because, like Jesse said, history has a way to sugarcoat things, so they didn't give you the full raw truth, and they don't tell you all the horrible things that they went through daily.
Just a side note, Elizabeth Eckford is on the famous picture of the white lady yelling behind her back, and she's wearing a plaid skirt.
Do you think that y'all could be in her shoes? Like, being brave enough to just walk through that mob through all the humiliation? And I know that they spat on her too, and they was yelling at her. Do y'all think y'all could be in her shoes, being that brave?
I used to tell myself that I could. I'm pretty sure I couldn't. It's also important to remember, at the same time, there was a black reporter who was covering the story, I think from out of town. He was beaten with a brick, almost killed, kicked, lying in the street. That could easily have happened to Elizabeth Eckford. So that's another thing. So yeah, I don't think I would have made it through the first day, let alone an entire year of that.
I don't think I would have been able to do it either. I don't think I could be able to see the stress I was causing my parents, are making them worry so much, knowing that, you know, I feel kind of selfish in a way, knowing that for my education that they're being harassed and they're losing their jobs, you're losing friendships, and, you know, so forth for your education, so.
I agree, because we have been reading about how Elizabeth's experience has affected her after the event, and even now she struggles with PTSD, and I do not think that I'd be able to deal with that, because even though it's all over, it's still constantly on her mind.
I'd like to think that I'd be able to do it, but realistically, I'm not sure. I don't think that I could have done it with the dignity that Elizabeth Eckford had, and the way she kept her composure even though horrible things were being said at her, people were spitting on her, and she could have easily lost her life.
Learning about each person and what they personally went through going to the school, how has this helped you personally?
Definitely, think I'm more empathetic and optimistic. It definitely has shown that we have changed, but we still have a lot of work to go to and work to do. I've grown as a person, more mature, understanding that race isn't a factor or anything. you are who you are based on your personality, your characteristics, black, white, good or bad. You know, I've learned at the Memory Project.
I think I've grown as a person, too. I think I'm a little more mature, and I like to think that I, well, sometimes I think about it, and I'm like, okay, come on. Elizabeth Eckford went through that, and you're complaining about homework? Come on. Come on. Like, it helps me be more mature sometimes. Sometimes.
What this experience taught me is that the things I learn in school are not necessarily the truth, and they may be sugarcoated. So if I really want to know the truth, then I'm going to have to look into things myself.
I completely agree with that, because reading the primary documents, you see a whole new side of it, and you just get more of a personal connection with the story instead of just what textbooks tell you or teachers tell you.
So I want to go back and talk about the script writing process and the walking tour some more. So can you tell me, what was your process going through each of your documents and writing the script for this tour?
In order to get the script together, it was a pretty tedious task. We had to read through all of the documents individually. We didn't read as a group. And then we would select things that stood out to us. And then we would meet as a group and we would go through and tell each other why those things stuck out to us and give them reasoning as to why we thought it should be in the script. And so we had to go back and forth because we did have a time limit on it. So it couldn't be too long. We had to go back and forth about why we wanted to select this, and people had to agree or disagree, and things had to be cut and things had to be added.
And even once we had the basic information that we needed, we had a rough draft of the script, it was all put together. Then we had to go back through and just delete some or add some. We had to keep it within 2 minutes so that, you know, the listeners wouldn't get bored. And so there was a lot of work even after the basic script was put together.
I have a whole folder full of scripts that are marked up and annotated. And we had, I think, like 23 or 24 different versions of the script before we finally said, okay, this is it. This is the right one.
So you said that it was a really tedious task to find all the documents and read through them as you made the script. So what were some other challenges that you had to go through finishing the script?
I think one of our biggest challenges, at least to me, was agreeing to what was important, because we're all so different in personality. You know, had to, okay, this is important to me. Why? Well, I think this is important. And we did have a time frame. So that was one of the biggest challenges, was agreeing what was, quote, important, because it was all important in general, but, you know.
And it wasn't just what was historically important, because we're not just trying to give a textbook rendering of what happened. It's a walking tour, so it's supposed to be immersive. It's supposed to help the listener put themselves there. So I think different things helped different people. Different things appealed to different people, and we had to find common ground.
Now, with this walking tour, you said you wanted to actually put the listeners and the viewers there. I know you guys are coming up, like, kind of in the future with an app you can download. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So I'm personally working on the app with my sister, who just graduated this year, so I'm going to be taking over in the years to come. And basically, we're putting all the information about the Memory Project, all the information about our journey with the Memory Project, and then the actual script and the recordings for the actual walking tour. And so the person who is trying to go through the walking tour and, you know, have the experience can just download the app, and then whenever they reach a certain location, then they can hit play on that stop.
Back to the app. Can y'all explain a little bit more on how it's gonna, like, put you basically in Elizabeth Eckford's shoes?
So the app is a device that we're gonna use to have pretty much an all-inclusive experience of the Memory Project. And so the script that we've been working on has been recorded by drama students who are part of the Little Rock School District. And so they recorded the script, and then we're downloading it onto the app so that listeners can go to Central High and go through the walking tour, and at each stop, because we'll assign, I think there's like 10 stops maybe, we will have one part of the recording play so that it'll be pretty much like you're experiencing Elizabeth Eckford's experience, because you'll be hearing her experience while you're walking.
It's kind of so it's
hard
like
to explain.
Like virtual. Like virtual. Like, it's, you know, you remember that little Pokemon Go game app? Is it kind of like that, you know, where they had the Pokemon, you just hold it down like that? Is it like that? And, like, you go to a certain stop, and you be like, this is where da-da-da-da happened, and this happened to you.
Yeah, pretty much, but there's no Pokemon, so. Sorry.
Basically, we just have set geographic locations, and at those locations is where certain audio will play.
Oh,
that's so simple.
So while you're on your app and you're like in certain locations, would you have like the actual like some of the people that went to school there during this time and people from the Little Rock Nine in the app as you're looking at it?
Well, in the walking tour, well, quote on the app, we do have special guests in the script who do play a big role in the empathetic part of the script, not just as Tristan said, the textbook version, but they do play a role in the background people who don't get recognition like they should.
Okay, so in this app you guys were talking about, would there be like certain characters or anything inside of the app that we could all see and hear?
In the script, we do have a few other characters other than Elizabeth in the speaking parts, such as Ernest Green, Louis Armstrong, Eleanor Roosevelt, Arkansas Democrat photographer Will Counts, and New York Times reporter Benjamin Fine, and our former Governor Faubus.
So what was your favorite memory with working on the project?
My favorite memory was definitely when we got to sit down with Elizabeth Eckford and talk to her about her experiences. Jesse kind of touched on this earlier, but she does suffer with PTSD, and so it was just crazy to see how she's still affected by it, and also to hear a lot of things that aren't included in any writing and her personal thoughts.
And I really admire her ability to still be able to talk about her experience even though she struggles with it so much because of the effect that had on her. Because even in our short interview with her, she had to take a break and step out of the room once just because it started to get to her so much.
She's incredibly strong. You can see it in the way she phrases her words, the way she sits, her posture, everything about her kind of shows that, kind of demonstrates that she's gone through a lot and she's managed to keep it together.
Yeah, I agree with what everyone else said. Being with Elizabeth was just a reminder of, you know, what she had to go through and how blessed I am to be able to go to a school like Central and how she affected children in
the
education system across the world.
Okay, so you mentioned that.
I was shocked by how humble she was. She really doesn't think that she's done anything great or surreal, but she has, and she's paved the way for so many people to be able to go to Central and to go to so many other schools.
You mentioned that Elizabeth was going through a lot during this time, and that even now she's going through PTSD. For our listeners who may not know what that is or what that means, can you explain that to them?
Well, PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, and it happens after somebody goes through a traumatic event, and it will stay with them, and they have a lot of triggers, so even the slightest thing can take them back to that traumatic experience. I remember one time, I've met Elizabeth a couple times before. One time was in Memphis, and before she came to this meeting with everybody, we had to be told that we couldn't clap when we were around her. We had to snap because clapping is such a loud noise that it takes her back to her experiences at Central.
Throughout your script, how do you channel that energy and how do you keep the same intensity that she may have went through during her experience, and how do you channel that into the script so that the audience can feel the same?
We actually had a lot of discussions about that. I remember we talked about, for example, the use of the N-word and whether we should include it in the script at all and how often. And we decided that it should be included frequently because of, in order to fairly represent the times and what actually happened. There were several sources, like memoirs of the Little Rock Nine, who a couple sources that listed
actual epithets that they heard often, and we interspersed them fairly regularly, and we used, the way we put this script together, we interspersed those so that they would create a build. So that was kind of how we kept the tension going.
Going off of what Tristan said, so much of the story of Little Rock Nine is sugar-coated and it's not presented as awful as it really was. So I think it was important to include harsh words like the N-word in the script because it adds to the authenticity of it, something that you don't get from a lot of other sources on the subject.
So working on the memory project, you guys obviously learned more than what you have known at first. Is the movie equivalent to what actually happened?
I think the movie shows a much lesser version of what happened, so I'm sorry to use the word again, but it kind of sugarcoated the entire experience. And so I feel like our script gives a more realistic view of it, and it's like a harsh reality compared to the movie.
And that's kind of necessary because what kids will watch the movie, and we did in fact release, or we wrote up a kid-friendly version of the script so that third grade teachers could give the script to their kids.
Okay, so y'all been saying the word sugarcoated a lot lately. Saying that y'all not pulling out, y'all pulling out all the stops. Y'all not playing no games. So how are y'all gonna do that?
Through our use of primary sources, it's allowed us to show everybody the experience through Elizabeth Eckford's view and through the actual Little Rock Nine's view. So it's not just somebody who's heard it from another person telling a story. It's actually from a person who experienced it. So we get the real experience rather than, you know, just a written up version in a textbook.
And there's a little more, like, it's not just that we use the N-word. It's that we use epithets, and, like, there's one part where someone says, drag her over to this tree. Like, that's kind of gritty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's grim, but it's what happened, that including harsh, dark, morbid, but authentic and true things like that is how I think we can provide a story that's more true to what actually happened.
Accurate, authentic.
I also like agree with that too. I think like we're using like harsh words like that, it puts you more in their shoes. People tend to turn a blind eye, but when you can physically see it or like feel that emotion, like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine being dragged or having someone call me derogatory words. That's something that in order to actually feel it and sense it, then it's important. That's why those words are in here, in order to get that real experience.
So what impact do you think that the Memory Project could have on Central High School, the community around it, and people individually as they go to see the tour?
Can you repeat your question? Did you ask it in two parts? I had an answer to your first part.
It was like multiple parts. Sorry. So what impact do you think that the Memory Project could have on Central High?
Okay. Central High and the community as well. I think Memory Project is a fun way to learn about history in an interactive/oral way, because history is presented like in textbooks or with your teacher and 25 students, but Memory Project is where you're actually hearing your opinion, you're actually speaking, you're learning it hands-on. And I think that way, history, different points of view is told through different students. So you have one school who may be predominantly white, they're able to voice their opinions and come together from a school who's predominantly black, and that's what Memory Project is all about, bringing everyone together.
How I think that the Memory Project could help Central High School and then the community as a whole is to learn from our diversity, because we are a very diverse group and we don't just focus on African American civil rights and struggles, we focus on struggles all across the board. So I think that we could teach people tolerance and acceptance of others even if they are different.
Adding on to that, one of the best things about the Memory Project is that we actually, not just with the walking tour, with everything we do, we go out and talk to people. We find people who have actually gone through things, and we talk to them, we take their words, we find out what they have to say. And it's just a more holistic, better view of history than to read a bunch of dates out of a textbook.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on, like, everyone has a story, and Memory Project is a chance for that story to be heard. So, yeah.
So what impact do you think that the Memory Project could have on an individual person? Maybe somebody who either doesn't know much about the history of the Little Rock Nine, or maybe people that may not agree with, you know, race issues or may not care about them?
I think that hopefully people like that who are ignorant. Can you use that word?
Yeah, you can use it. You can use a lot of words.
Well, hopefully those people that are ignorant to these types of issues learn from the script to tolerate differences. Because we present Elizabeth, she's just a 15-year-old girl, you know, and so everybody can sympathize with her. And people can relate to her struggle just going through high school. So hopefully they can see her as a real person and then from that learn to connect to different people and find commonalities rather than differences.
You guys have had a lot of help and you have collaborated with a lot of different people. So who would you like to shout out, or who were some of the sponsors that helped you along this journey?
So the Arkansas Regional Innovation Hub has helped us develop the app. They've mentored us and helped us to produce it.
The Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the Central Arkansas Library System has been instrumental in securing our goals.
The National Historic Site, Cross Central High School, they have definitely been a big help. That's actually where this the script starts, so that's one really good source.
Mr. George West and Miss Stella Cameron are our teacher sponsors, and they've really guided us through this process and brought us together, helped us make tough decisions, and this score would not be here if it weren't for them.
You've been listening to Primary Sources on Radio CALS, a production of the Central Arkansas Library System, its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies, and the CALS Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information, please visit cals.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley. Production manager is Shelley Stormo. Voices by Jasmine Job and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Anna Lancaster and Shelley Stormo. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland.
This is KABF in Little Rock, 88.3, the voice of the people in Central Arkansas.